I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
The cup weekend was...
Let's do it again.
I hate him being in control.
Sorry.
The cup weekend was denied a Hollywood ending at Wrexham, but me like Emirates, me fly Emirates. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Monday the 30th of January. I'm Jules Free.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm David Cartledge.
And I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
I am flying into this Monday morning ramble because Brighton are massive. Silence. Come on, guys.
Yeah, we're just
the love with me.
It's the awe that we all have for Brighton, just constantly just wedgie in Liverpool season.
What a time to be alive. It's great stuff. How are you all? You all right?
Yeah, good.
All good. Yeah.
Not as good as me, clearly.
No, I would say enjoy it while you can.
I am. Yeah. I am.
I think I saw Todd Bowley picking at your motor outside. Might not be there when you get out.
Well, he's getting nowhere near Caicedo, that's for sure. And we'll come on to that in a minute. Just a quick reminder before we get started that this is your last reminder that on Sunday we've got our Friend of the Ramble watch along, and we only have a limited number of spaces left. So if you fancy coming to join us to watch the football on Sunday, we're going to be in a London pub, you can come along, and all you got to do to get your tickets is sign up and become one of our Patreon members. And to do that, you've just got to go to patreon.com/footballramble. It's completely free. You've just got to sign up, get a ticket. We're going to be watching Tottenham against Man City. It's going to be good fun. We'll have a few drinks. We'll have a giggle. So make sure you come along. It is limited availability. So make sure you sign up and get your ticket now before it all sells out. Right. Highlights of the weekend then. I've given mine away already, Jim. What was yours?
Mine was Kaoru Mitoma and Victor Osimhen scoring identical world like the same goal, but such a difficult like thing to pull off, such an amazing sort of improvised skill and technique. If you've not seen them side by side, have a look, because it's the same goal.
It's weird, isn't it? Because Matoma's was obviously earlier on in the day and everyone was raving about it, what a time to score that winner, etc., and what a type of goal it was. And then a few hours later, Osman's like, whatever you can do, mate, I'm going to do slightly better with a bit more power.
Yeah, and a lot harder.
Yeah.
He nearly destroyed the net.
Absolutely smashed it, didn't he? It was decent. What about you, David?
I'm going to go for the Grimsby Town social media content creator who just absolutely lost his shit when Grimsby scored an equaliser to force a replay. It was just great seeing that.
Was that the 2-2 goal?
Yeah, that was the 2-2 goal. Yeah, yeah. So he's forced to replay. And I love it. He's got his little camera there. He's about to take a picture and he's just like, oh no, I'm going to lose it. And he just got involved, jumping up and down. There's a brilliant shot of him just in midair with the camera. I want to see the pictures, actually, what he did get.
Yeah, that was an incredible game, actually. That was at Luton. So this is League Two Grimsby, who forced a replay against Luton, who started the weekend 7th in the Championship. And they've been going quite well under Rob Edwards since he took over there. It was a great game, but there was all sorts of weird stuff going on. Did you see the sprinklers came on about less than 5 minutes into the match? There was a person with an inflatable fish in the crowd. It was a proper cup tie, Jim.
Yeah,
it was
great.
Decent.
My highlight, went viral over the weekend.
You went viral?
No, if only. No, I'm not at that level yet. It happened in Eredivisie and it involved the final goalkeeper, Justin Bigelow, who came out of his box, scampering out of his box to tackle Twente Winger.
Wow, he's gone for it.
I'm just trying to assume. I just wanted a bit of McLaren there. So he tackles a Twente winger and has this moment where he's off the field and the ball's just bobbled away in close to the attacking player. So the attacking player's first instinct is to get the ball and throw it in. And the keeper, thinking quickly, rather than like go for the ball that's in play live and throw it away, goes to a ball that's nestled on a cone and throws that into play.
Genius.
And thus ruining everything to the extent that the Twente player ends up trying to take the throw and is so angry, he just hurls the ball at the goalkeeper. Just amazing shithousing and really quick thinking as well.
I'm loving to see just new, iterations of shithousing.
Yeah.
I want to see more.
I think that's actually really quick thinking and clever, isn't it?
It is.
And respected.
Probably a booking?
It should be.
Yeah. Did he get booked?
Surely a booking.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I didn't look that closely into it.
This is kind of...
I just saw it on Twitter and I'm bringing it here.
All right, thanks. Do your research. Isn't this similar? Was there an Arsenal goal that was scored, Jim, and one of the players stayed on the pitch because they all went off the pitch to celebrate? Or was it a Man United goal, Vish? I think it might have been United, where there was a goal scored, all the players went off into like the corner, but he stayed on the pitch, didn't he? So that they couldn't restart the game.
Yeah, and stayed on in the opposition's half.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a big thing they do now. Yeah.
Was that Man United?
It feels like so. It feels too smart for Man United.
Well, talking of smart, I think Brighton are a very smart club at the moment. They're absolutely cruising. We're going to start with the Brighton Liverpool game in the FA Cup fourth round. Brighton 2, Liverpool 1. Nothing better as a fan than seeing your team score an injury time winner. And as Jim already described, a beautiful one as well, scored by Karim Mitoma, who has just been sensational this season for Brighton and particularly since the return of the World Cup. But what a bloody result and what a game.
Are you going to win it?
Oh, I don't know. I really want
it
us to.
It feels like Brighton might have a really, really good charge at it this season. There's so much positivity.
Yeah. What would you take, Jules? FA Cup win or Europa League place? If you had to pick one of them.
I think FA Cup win.
Yeah.
I think a trophy. Yeah. I think trophy this season when we've seen a lot of teams already out of the cup.
It's a good chance for someone.
It's a really good chance, I think, for an unlikely team to win it. So, and also, I mean, how long has it been since Brighton have won a trophy? It's over 120 years, I think. Yeah. So, look, I would love to see us get to Wembley. I was at the FA Cup semi-final when we played Man City a few years ago under Chris Hughton. And as a fan, even though we lost that game, it's actually still one of the best days I've ever had as a football fan because it was an amazing occasion. And we only narrowly lost that game as well. Now we're in such a better position. Yeah. We're playing the best football we've ever played. We've got an inspiring, exciting manager. The team are just special at the moment. Have I made you feel sick yet? There's a lot of love.
No, not at all.
No, this is what it's about.
It's
such a bastard.
Literally going to pick off your players.
No. Well, some of them, yes.
Yeah, some of the good ones, yeah. You can keep Dunk. But, I mean,
you score the equaliser. You leave Lewis Dunk alone. He's one of our own.
But without being flippant, I think like FA Cup success would be a huge deal, not least because, you know, you said there, like, you know, if the choice was between that and Europa League qualification, you'd obviously take the trophy. But Europa League qualification, with the way Brighton are operating at the moment, is just going to be a continuous thing. You're going to be there or thereabouts. Yeah.
I'd also be really nervous if we got Europa League because I cover the Europa League, and I'd panic if I was asked to cover the games because I'd be like, how can I cover these games? I actually also want to go to the games.
Yeah,
so like, I don't know if I'd want to cover
them. You have to quit.
I shouldn't really say this out loud on broadcast, should I? Actually, technically my job to do that.
I don't want to do that. But actually, then I'm thinking a bit too far ahead here, maybe. But you end up in that cycle where you're like, okay, but like, what is this about? Like, are we just going to be in this cycle of like, okay, qualification, and then like, oh, maybe we'll get Champions League.
Like, when
probably
do you push
won't.
On?
Yeah.
When do you invest a bit extra? And obviously, the model is brilliant and everything. There might actually come a point where they go, all right, do we maybe look at a different now caliber of player? But it's a nice position to be in.
Of course.
The envy of half the Premier
That's
League.
That's great, isn't it?
You're one of the most.
Great. It's so nice to hear people talking about us nicely, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, everyone just like calm down now, stop hyping us up, because it does feel...
Stop talking about our players in public.
Exactly. Can you all stop buying everyone? But Liverpool, a slight improvement from the last time they played Brighton, guys, but I mean, that wasn't hard because
they
were
dreadful.
That's
wonderfully patronising, isn't it? You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, Luke said on Friday show, didn't he, that at this point in time, there's no argument to say that Liverpool, or rather Brighton, are worse than Liverpool.
Yeah,
Brighton
absolutely are
100% the better team at the moment. And it was interesting, I thought, that even with the change in personnel on both sides, Brighton was still able to maintain that dominance, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, that is truly the right word for it.
And also at home, because our home record previously hasn't been great. We've been way better away from home this season, but since the return after the World Cup, our home form's picked up as well, and the home fans are loving it. I was absolutely gutted I couldn't be there yesterday, actually. And normally I would go because it's a Sunday game and I don't work, but I was actually at a baby shower. So I was that person who was on my phone at my friend's baby shower with the football on.
So you don't like working. You don't like your mates.
It's pretty bad, actually. To be honest, someone did come. I actually, we were playing the baby shower games, you know, all of the silly games you'd expect. Pin the sperm on the ovary. Genuinely was a game we played.
Jesus.
Can I say that? That's what that
is. You can say both those things.
Yeah, that happened.
It's half 10 in the morning.
Jesus Christ.
And we were playing all these games, and at one point when Lewis Dunk equalised, I literally went, yes! And I like cheered. And the mother-in-law of my friend actually went, I love that passion with these games. And I was like, absolutely. Oh, that is exactly what I'm cheering about right now. Oh, I did feel slightly bad. Anyways, back to Liverpool. How did they end up still with 11 men on the pitch at the end of the game?
Yeah,
particularly Fabinho.
The Fabinho tackle was, I mean, it's obviously a straight red. I mean, he even seemed to sort of see that himself, didn't he? But it's just, it's such a mess, isn't it? Like, I understand, like, quite often VAR, they don't want to overturn the decision the referee's made. They want to be like, all right, we'll stay out of certain things. But there doesn't seem to be enough rhyme or sort of reason to it as to why some things are looked at again and some things aren't in a situation like that. That seems a clear and obvious mistake to me.
He looks like, so guilty.
VAR only needs to be a replay of his face. That is a guilty
man.
That's
a guilty
man, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Also, you know, it's a conversation we've had a few times before. It's not VAR, it's the application of VAR. It's the people using VAR that have messed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's loads of weird little things like that. Like how they,
like,
you know, they don't look
at... hacked down as well.
Not looking at bookings as well, or not being able to overturn bookings. It's like a booking in the first minute of a game changes the game massively.
They're going to have to bring some sort of form of explanations in. Because that's what everyone's craving. Because everyone's sat there straight after the incident gone, like, all right, we don't really know. We'll make our own interpretation of it. Somebody might say it on Twitter, but they do need somebody to actually explain it at the time, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, that'd be really good. Even if it's a really sort of like beardy, wordy, odd thing, like the actual rule comes up. underneath the decision to explain it in the stadium? Because it's so frustrating, isn't it, when you don't quite understand what's going on in the stadium.
So attach that to the big screen where they actually say VAR check. When it's actually done, they actually write why.
You get some designated like FA nerd comes out and explains it. Actually, the reason they're... You mean like, we know at least.
You mean like Clippy from Microsoft Word?
Exactly like him, yes.
You look like you're reviewing a foul. Fuck off. Click the X on the top. Drag him to the waste paper bin.
There is talk, though, that is going to happen, isn't there?
Yeah,
there's
going to be...
World Cup, right?
There's going to be an audio element to it, yeah. So like in loads of other sports, they have this where they really nail down the language used. So it's... You know, things like, you know, in rugby, it's can you give me a reason why I can't award the try? Rather than like actively looking for things to rule something out, almost, you know, taking it to the end point of where we need to get to and being like, okay, what stops us from getting there, basically?
Yeah.
It happens in cricket, it happens in rugby, it happens in all other sports. Obviously, there's that in tennis with Hawkeye, and that's a little bit different because you're actually charting something that has actually happened. It's not up for debate. Mm. But yeah, like that'd be worth it. And even little things like, you know, when you go to a football game, they withhold a lot of things from you. They withhold a running clock for added on time because it's obviously at the referee's discretion. It's a minimum.
Mm. They withhold bottle lids.
It's slightly different, especially slightly the way annoying. Use them, the way you put them between your fingers. but there's so much in that they don't seem to trust football fans with. It's almost like a little information is too much, and I think they just need to be brought together in that way. And it'd be interesting to see how it works. Yeah,
yeah. Well, despite the fact that Liverpool got away with a fair few of those challenges, Brighton still won the game. They won the game without Caicedo. Yeah. In the squad as well, which was a concern heading into the match. Obviously, we've had this incredible transfer saga happening since last week. And just this morning, Arsenal have put in another bid, Jim. This time, 70 million for Caicedo, despite the fact that Brighton have said he is not for sale in this window. They're still trying. They want him.
Well, it was late last night, actually.
It was late last night, wasn't it?
And Brighton rejected it within about 5 minutes. So I think... it's probably time for them to look at other targets now.
Who's still up at that time as well?
I was in bed.
I put my phone on Do Not Disturb.
I don't think anyone sleeps in the window. Anyone working in football behind the scenes doesn't sleep for a month. This is why you get mad things like this happening.
It's like Iron Apple.
Because everyone's everyone's just a little bit out of it. It's so much money, isn't it? It's so much money for Brighton to say no to I think Brighton might privately have a number they would say yes to, but I think because it would be insane to turn down. But I don't think Arsenal would go for it.
And
I don't.
Exactly. Pounds.
But I mean, there's been talk of like 90 million quid, and for a player that was signed for £5 million, you'd have to go, oh, maybe. But then,
excuse me.
Sorry, the trouble with being logged in here is that was my email going off.
Can I just say, so Vish is in control of our soundboard today, guys. So if anything weird happens, you know it's because of Vish. He's going to try and sabotage. Look, I mean, the money for a player that cost as little as he did is... It's mind-blowing, really. It's kind of unthinkable as Brighton fans because that is so much money to a club like us that it would be so hard to turn it down. But at the same time, Tony Bloom has such a strong stance on transfers. And he clearly values him that highly. And he is so important to us. We don't have a like-for-like replacement. Do you remember when Bissouma went to Spurs?
Neither do Arsenal.
Prior to that Bissouma move, Arsenal were interested in him.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was thinking, you know what? If he does go, at the time when he was linked with Arsenal, I was worried because we didn't have Caicedo yet. He wasn't ready. When he was linked with Spurs and that move happened, I was actually more than happy for him to go because by that point, Caicedo had been bedded into the squad a bit more. He started playing more and you could see the quality he had. And I remember thinking at the time, he's actually better than Bissouma. Yeah. And now he's proved that in less than a full season without Bissouma at the club. It's remarkable,
yeah,
really.
I think he's considerably better. And look, all... power to Brighton doing what they're doing as well. There's like a lot of discourse now that like, oh, he's only played 27 games for them. How can they be demanding 100 million? You know what I mean? That's how much Brighton want to value.
Yeah.
Mm. Brighton bought him. Brighton gave him a contract. He's Brighton's player. If they want to say he's worth 300 million, they have every single right to. If Arsenal fans think he's worth only 40 million, then that's their right as well. But like this discourse of like, oh, they should accept it. They should just take it and everything. He's not being paid enough as well. It's like, yeah, it's just complete rubbish.
It took a weird turn though, didn't it, at the weekend when Caicedo released a statement on Instagram, which was clearly copied and pasted from a text message because it still had quotation marks in it and had his name at the start, and is not really how he writes Instagram posts when you look down at all the others. And then it also then went on to Twitter as well. And at the time I was thinking, this is really awkward. What is going on here? It's not what you want to see as fans of the club when a player actually then starts to say that he wants to leave before a deal has been done. It's fine, you know, once the deal's done and you know they're moving on, then you expect a statement like that.
It was a bit of a farewell statement, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very odd, and I felt a bit sad for him actually, because it just felt to me like it didn't seem like he was being advised the right way.
Yeah, 100%.
And that seemed to be Roberto De Zerbi's response to it.
The only thing I think Brighton have to be wary of is that while deep down they will know a number, there is evidently a number that Caicedo himself thinks is the appropriate number. And provided they're on the same page there, that's fine. You just don't need to play silly buggers. I don't think any more statements need to be released from Brighton.
Yeah.
I thought it was, I mean, it's how they do things. It's fine. You know, Cucurella, they released that statement saying, you know, he's our player. He's not really going anywhere. Obviously went in the end. They released a similar statement with Caicedo. And I think provided they, above board's probably the wrong word for transfers because nothing's really above board, all told. But as long as they're honest and don't veer from that, don't try and like go at Arsenal in public, because then it really seems like you're being vindictive rather than like right for you and right for the player. I think provided all that goes to plan, you should be all right, really. And he can go in the summer.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of what we expected anyway. We kind of expected that probably the summer would be the time.
And it'll be like that Fat Joe meme, you know, yesterday's price is not today's price.
God, it's annoying having good players. I'm not used to this. What about the other brilliant cup tie from this weekend and yesterday, actually? Wrexham 3, Sheffield United 3, denied in the last minute by John Egan. Some kind of confusion over his goal in the 95th minute when he celebrated.
He's shushing the crowd, but he's also sort of doing that thing where he's holding his hand to his ear going, oh yeah, what do you think of that? Tell me what you think, but also shut up. It's like, oh, they're a non-league side. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, John Egan.
It was such a great cup tie though, wasn't it?
It was brilliant, wasn't it? It's also really dark. It looked like it was happening at the end of the world. It looked really... really, like, because obviously one stand is being redeveloped, so it's all kind of open and there's diggers on it. It looked like vaguely apocalyptic, which just added to the spectacle for me.
It had a bit of everything, didn't it?
Proper cup tie.
Yeah.
It had everything, and I think with the whole story behind them, which we'll go into in a minute with the actors and what have you behind them in Hollywood.
I love how you said that so fluently. We'll come on to them actors.
They're
Hollywood boys.
Drain the swamp.
But yeah, the actual action on the field, it was fantastic, and it's exactly what you want from these FA Cup weekends.
Ryan Reynolds did a lot of media around the game yesterday, didn't he? He was loving it.
He did a lot. I mean,
to be fair, he's on screen a fair bit, isn't he?
I mean, my full-time job's at ESPN, and I mean, we've had the rights to the FA Cup for some time, and then now this Wrexham story is emerging. There's a big company push, and sure, ESPN don't mind me saying this at all, that they're really wanting to get behind this story, really buy into it as well. The documentary and everything's on a streaming service of theirs as well. And
right,
yeah,
promo.
Sent a full team.
let him speak.
Hang on a minute, we've got two ESPN people in here with us today.
What's your favourite Emirates destination?
You know what's good? McDonald's are fucking brilliant, aren't they?
So yeah, it's interesting to see. It really is. And I think we did an interview with Ryan Reynolds as well, and he said he wants Wrexham to become America's soccer team. That is the ultimate goal.
Is that that's not a good thing, is it? Because in the NFL, America's team are the Dallas Cowboys, and they're trash.
Yeah, and their losses and their are really enjoyed by everybody
else.
Well,
exactly.
So Wrexham might come there as well. And there's already, and we've been discussing this with you, Jim, that you can already see a bit of a change in the tide.
Yeah, people are starting to get a little bit snippy about the whole ownership in general, aren't they? And the sort of story about it. You're starting to see people go, oh, I think it's a bit boring or whatever. So it'd be interesting to see how they weather that as well, because it's been very slickly PR'd, the whole situation. Obviously, of course it has. So I'm sure they'll have a strategy in place for that. But that is just football, isn't it? You get a bit of success and people start
hating
you.
Exactly. I was going to say, people just get annoyed when things start to go well, don't they?
Yeah.
It's like, people, oh, you've got
such
a
healthy attitude in this country, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, oh, you've got a bit of money now. What? I don't like you anymore. Yeah.
You don't count.
Yeah, you're not allowed.
Are things going well for you? City forgotten by the rest of the country.
Yeah, exactly.
The rest of Britain.
But it's
Brits don't like nice things.
No.
They just don't.
Just moaning. They revel in misery. Aren't we?
It's a really powerful thing, though, this momentum they've got behind them, haven't they? Like, you sense that, like, I mean, how on earth have they drawn this game 3-0 with a Championship team?
I know.
They've just got such a force of belief behind them, and that buzz, that the sheer volume of it as well, with how sort of engaged the fans are, is a real force to be reckoned with.
Also, if you want a lovely story with the Wrexham side of things, for all of those of you who are being a bit miserable about their success, Paul Mullen has an incredible story. I mean, he's scored 27 goals this season. I don't know if anyone saw the story about his little boy as well. His son got diagnosed with autism last week. And so he walked out onto the pitch with ear defenders on before the game, just to show that support, because there are a lot of children and people that go to football matches with autism, and having that support and to be able to see other people that are watching the game with ear defenders on as well. It's just lovely. And I think that there are lots of nice stories around Wrexham outside of the Hollywood stuff.
Yeah, but I suppose the other aspect is, you know, someone like Mullen is probably playing two divisions lower than he should be, and there are a few other players like that, and I can understand why that might diminish the romanticism of this, or, you know, I mean, they only drew, they've still got a replay to go, so yeah, I can understand why it takes a little bit away from that, but it's pretty cool to see that, you know, different kinds of owners who, you know, well, at the time of recording, aren't morally reprehensible.
Nice way to cover your back there.
Yeah, though. Yeah. But I mean, you know, I like Sonny, so I'm a Rob McElhenney fan. But there is an element of it's nice to know that those good things are happening with a degree of, I don't know, a degree of sincere altruism behind them, because they fancied getting involved. They didn't realise what they're getting involved with, and they seem to have vibed with the place. And I think the other thing about that is, if you look at Wrexham fans, you know, certainly the fans, even that they talked to in the documentary that have been talked to for the last week or so, they've seen so many false prophets.
Exactly, yeah.
And already they've done more than the previous owners. And they also accept, they've said this a few times, but they also accept the fact that they're custodians of the clubs. They're not really owners.
Yeah, yeah. And ultimately, when you break it down, it's a non-league team in this round of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
They're still in the hat. The draw is tonight. It'll be exciting to see who they potentially could be facing in the next round. Right, we're going to take a break now. Vish, this is the time where I look at you, I point at you, and you press the break ID, because you're in control today, remember? We're going to take a break, and after this, we'll talk a bit more about some of the other cup ties from the weekend.
You said none of this conversation could have happened before we got started. Should we leave this in?
Yes. Go to break.
Well, okay. Well, so tell me. So you do that bit,
yeah,
and then point,
yes,
and then I'll press play.
Yes. Okay.
So do it again.
Right. We'll take a break. See you in a moment.
No, as in like a bit more build up than that.
Sake. Okay.
I
right.
I have to scroll back to the original to the start.
Right. We're getting. Oh, such an idiot. We should not be allowed in the same room.
Do it properly.
Okay.
Is this what happens at BT?
No, I have better people. Oh,
we're going to a break.
Have better interns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Buy two, get one free. And I picked up a little Argentinian and
I ended up having to take a couple of free transfers.
It was one of Daniel's specials.
We were trying to get a couple of players in at the top of my shopping list, but they were both free transfers.
You've made your name as a wheeler and dealer. There's not been much wheeling and dealing, you know?
Fuck off.
Oh, no, didn't mean it like that. Didn't mean it like that.
Nobody got
names.
No, I'm not. Fucking dealer. Don't even, don't say that. I'm a fucking football manager.
Oh, it's an absolute classic. Get Harry Redknapp back in management just for deadline day.
That'd be pretty good, actually, wouldn't he? He just broke at everything.
Oh, so good. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, guys. It's Jules, Jim, David and Bish here with us. And we're back on Wednesday morning this week with another bonus ramble. 2 weeks in a row, you lucky lot. And that's because we're going to do a special right after deadline day to see whether or not Moises Caicedo is still a Brighton player. I won't be here.
That'd be so funny.
I won't be here because I'm worried. But yes, we will be back on Wednesday morning. So make sure you listen out for that one. Another story that's been developing over the last few days has been this one with Everton and when they're going to finally announce Sean Dyche as their manager. Because on Friday afternoon, there was all the stories that they'd decided to go for him over Bielsa. And then on Saturday, he was spotted arriving at the Everton training ground. So we're expecting this to be announced.
I think it's taken so long because he's tried to one up Bielsa, you know, who yeah. said like, oh, I want to know the under-21s. Dyche is like, all right, well, I don't know about the fucking under-18s. I want to learn all about them.
Yeah, because this mad thing happened with Bielsa,
isn't
didn't it?
The
where
weirdest
he implied that he would be happy to take over, but that his staff would manage the first team for the rest of this season while he'd manage the under-21s and then he'd take over in the summer. Like, what on earth is he... Would it just be boot camp for months
pure
and months
Bielsa.
And months and months? Like, just pure running power instilled into the under-21s? Like, that I've never heard anything like that.
Is he trying to save himself for another a relegation on his CV? Is that what it is?
Maybe.
No, but like, you know, a lot of people talked about the fact that, you know, because Everton seemed to be going for those two very different managers, they clearly didn't know what they were doing. But... I mean, that sounds very Bielsa, doesn't it?
Yeah, like,
he wants to know the club. Like, yeah. even when he starts, you know, I can't remember who it was, but someone released a kind of screenshot of his last few club management stints, and he always starts in June. Like, yeah. June is the date because he comes in and he has plenty of time to do all this mad shit.
Yeah. He's like, hang on a minute, it's January. I'm not taking the first team role. Absolutely not. You give me the job in June.
Yeah.
They're like, we need you now, mate.
But then, like, that kind of makes sense. And also, it's such a shame it didn't happen because I love the idea that, like, you know, they might, you know, sometimes between European fixtures, if there's a bit of a gap when you're not in cup competitions, you might have a behind closed doors friendly against your under-21s. Imagine Everton under-21s running rings around the first.
Yeah. And
any money if this goes wrong as well, by the way. I think there's going to be a debate at the end of it. So say Everton go down. There's going to be a lot of Everton fans thinking, why didn't we just let him do that? Prepare for the championship. Start again from scratch, you know, with our young players. So he'll have known the young players who he's worked with. We could start the championship kind of like that. Mm. And also, I mean, their wage bill is ridiculous. I think it's something like 90-odd% of their turnover to, you know, wage bill and what have you as well. So they are a club that needs to start again. So this might have been the one. But I do think Dyche is the right appointment. He suits the squad that they have. And I said this on the other Ramble a few weeks ago. The squad that they have really, really suits Dyche's style, I think.
Yeah, 100%. And also, I mean, this isn't ideal timing in terms of how much is left of the transfer window, but you get the impression that Dyche will not be getting any reinforcements unless they can find something like really sort of cheap or a free transfer or something in the next few days. Because I think this is it, isn't it? Dyche is there to get more out of this squad, keep them up this season, and then reset.
And he's familiar with a few of the players as well, yeah. Obviously, with some former Burnley players in that Everton squad. But his job's to go in there and organise and just keep them safe now, basically. But he's going to have to do it without Anthony Gordon, who's officially left the club. He's signed for Newcastle for $45 million. What do you make of that, Vish?
It feels like that valuation might have been related to what Chelsea were willing to pay for him at the start of the start of the season. He has had a bit of a drop off. I think it's all really quite sad. I think this embodies the sadness of it, because I don't know if you saw, but Kieran Trippier put out an Instagram reel over the weekend where, do you remember when Everton played Newcastle and Gordon and Trippier went at it? Mm. And then I think it was Shaw comes in and, like, you know, Newcastle fans actually use that moment as a point to be like, God, look how together this team is. Mm. And a lot of them ended up like disliking Gordon off the back of that. And now, you know, probably have to rethink a few things.
So Trippier saying we are going to bully this show.
Welcome to hell, mate. But if you look at the way that, you know, Gordon was quite an integral part of them staying up last year, was also he was that palpable thing of someone who's come through. I know he was, you know, released from Liverpool, joins, you know, age group football at Goodison Park, the academy, and comes through and was something tangible that you could point to and be like, that this guy gets it, this guy's us. And then you see the video after the Southampton game where people are, you know, fans are angry and telling him to get out of the club. It's all quite sad. And I think even though his returns have been quite poor this season, he's exactly the kind of player that, you know, when it comes to this part of the season, is just going to naturally give a bit more.
Yeah.
And now that you've lost that, it's quite demoralising, which is why I think Dyche has got, you know, he does have a track record of keeping, well, specifically one team up in Burnley. And there were obviously two seasons which you would maybe describe as anomalies when they finished seventh in 2017-18.
Yeah.
Placed above Everton as well. And then they finished 10th in 2019-20. But he just has that know-how of, like, what you need to do to get out of this league. And it hasn't really changed much. If you look at the teams around Everton at the time, you know, you just need a bit of solidity. None of those teams have solidity. And it's something that Lampard wasn't able to get. I think he stumbled upon it, luckily, last year with a couple of formation tweaks. But Dyche is good at that. And I think longer term, maybe he is a good solution. As like hard as that is to swallow, given I remember covering a game at the start of the 2020-2021 season. So, like, you know, coming out of that first summer with COVID, where there's a behind closed doors start of the season against Spurs at Spurs Stadium. James Rodriguez, a midfield three of Andre Gomez, Alan and Doucouré. Yeah. And it felt like this team were taking a completely different direction.
Yeah, yeah.
That's with Charlison and Calvert-Lewin up front. And now to see where they are now, it's depressing, but this is probably should be the start of that recalibration.
Yeah, yeah, you'd expect it to be. Prior to this weekend, Duncan Ferguson was actually linked with the Everton job, wasn't he?
But
then, by us. Well, everyone really. Everyone was kind of thinking, well, he could do.
Everyone was thinking it, but no one articulated it strongly. Yeah.
But he obviously took the Forest Green Rovers job and he had his first match this weekend and it actually got off to a really good start. They went 1-0 up, but then they conceded two injury time goals and ended up losing 2-1 to Shrewsbury. Not good.
No.
Poor old Big Dunk.
No, you're going to be in trouble with Big Dunk. Nightmare fuel.
Right, let's get back to more of our cup games from the weekend then. Fulham 1, Sunderland 1 was another brilliant cup tie, Jim. At Craven Cottage, I feel like we're seeing so many entertaining matches this season.
Yeah, massively. But to be fair, a lot of the entertainment came from Sunderland. It was brilliant, wasn't it? They were so sort of positive and on the front foot. And I am absolutely gutted for 15-year-old Chris Rigg, who scored a goal that was disallowed. Like, just... I'm
double gutted from because he's back at school today.
Yeah.
Sunderland have to put a request in each week to get him out of school so he can attend training.
That's incredible.
It's like that. Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely remarkable. And he's really highly thought of at Sunderland. There's stories that his family are all Newcastle fans.
Oh,
there's
really?
A contract situation there. Newcastle looking at him, Man United apparently looking at him as well. So that's going to be an interesting one to see. But I think he's in a good place. I think Sunderland are in a very good place as a club right now. I was there at the weekend, being a Sunderland fan. 6,000 in attendance of the North East's finest came down to West London. Got the entire Putney End. Atmosphere was just incredible.
It sounded
amazing.
Throughout,
yeah,
from the people I spoke to, it sounded like all the trains and buses and what have you that came down. Brilliant atmosphere there as well. And they were denied probably is one of the most magical moments of one of your own.
Oh, it's such a shame. He looks so young. I know he is young. He's 15, but he's got a proper baby face, doesn't he, Vish?
Yeah, he does. So what, he was born in...
2007.
Actually, Dion Dublin seemed a bit confused about that and emotional on Match of the Day. He said he was born in 2007. Who was born in 2007?
That's the year the Football Ramble started.
And he's right. What?
Who said that, sorry?
Dion Dublin.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, that's the year this very podcast started, 2007.
Wow, he's the same age as the Ramble.
Yeah. Wow.
He's already done more than us.
Speak for yourself, mate.
Oh, such a shame.
So,
such a shame.
No, it's such a shame.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, the you know, the return leg. You know what I mean? The replay.
That
was very American.
Yeah. The returner.
Are you trying to get in their Rexham?
Yeah, I'm trying to get into ESPN. If you guys are going to talk it up so much, I want a slice of that fruit pie.
Yeah, you need to have someone recommending you in a seconder. So that's fine. Yeah, we'll get you in. Sorry,
cool.
Sorry, Jules.
Sorry. How about me? Well, am I not allowed?
You're fine. You're
right,
fine.
Yeah. You don't even want to work. Well, I want to watch Brian.
So, I mean, this is a bit of a tricky fixture for Fulham now, right? Going back up there. So much energy.
Yeah. It's good. That stadium's going to be packed. It's going to be cheap tickets again. Fulham did a good thing, by the way, of not hiking up ticket prices. So not only did they give Sunderland an extra allocation, they kept the ticket prices at nice. They started off about £10. So it explains why all the people coming down as well. So I think Sunderland will do the same. And it'll be absolutely rammed there. And again, and it's just going to be interesting to see, because they were dealt a blow in that game as well. There's so many positive things
Stewart's
in that game.
Stewart's injury
is massive, absolutely massive. Because just before, Corey Evans, captain, leader, legend and all that, is injured as well. So he's out for the...
Now,
So apparently two players who are the Spania team out for the season. But I mean... But they've made some good moves, got a few good young players in and what have you. I think Geldart coming in from Leeds is really big for the club.
Massive.
Really, really is. So he could be really important looking towards the end of the season. So,
if it doesn't go well, Tony Mowbray will just carry on eating his revels and being happy about how much he loves chocolate.
Yeah, being a really sort of lovable granddad figure.
He loves his revels.
He does, yeah. There's a press conference that went viral recently where they just gave him a bag of revels and sort of just let him...
And he was like,
chat away about
a 10 minute monologue. Yeah.
And he was like, I'm glad they changed it. I didn't like the coconut ones, but I really like the raisin ones. He loves the raisin ones.
Why does he buy like, so this is the thing I don't understand loves about people who like revels. Unless you like the kind of lottery of it, why don't you just buy a bag of the one revel you like?
I don't know if they do them separately.
No, but they do like chocolate. You know, they do like chocolate raisins all the time, don't they?
It's not the same.
Maybe it's
just the idea of...
It's quite good having a bit of a mixture when you dip your hand in. You go, that one's a coffee one.
So in his example, like he didn't like one of them. Why?
Yeah,
just
but
cut
they don't
out.
Do them anymore. They've taken them out.
Fair
he
enough.
He doesn't have to worry about that anymore. And if he was worried, he had a backup Yorkie in his pocket anyway. So
is that
fine.
What he said?
Yeah. He whipped it out. He whipped out a Yorkie bar and said, "Look, I've got
don't
my
say
chocolate.
Whipped out Yorkie.
He whipped out his backup Yorkie.
For God's sake. anyway, back to...
Wouldn't that melt if he's just keeping that there for emergencies?
This is England. It's cold.
He's going to sit on it.
It was in his coat pocket.
Yeah.
He's clearly got a system.
Body
he's fine.
Yeah, he's not wearing a...
I'm telling you, this guy's a fucking idiot.
He's not wearing a heated gilet. God.
How do you pronounce that?
Gilet. What's wrong with that?
Gilet.
Yeah, what do you call it?
Gilet, is it not?
Gilet, yeah.
Gilet?
I thought it was a gilet.
Yeah, gilet.
Gilet? What did I say?
Gillet?
Oh, piss off, I did not
said,
say that.
You said gilet.
Right, Man City have knocked Arsenal out, Jim. Do you care?
But less than I might have done in previous seasons. It was an interesting game. Arsenal made a lot of changes. I didn't expect them to make as many changes as they did. Rob Holding did pretty well against Erling Haaland as well.
Got I was worried about him, I'm not going to lie.
Worried. But he just essentially man-marked him, didn't he? And just stayed on him as best he could. The booking meant, obviously, he came off. Smart finish from Nathan Ake, who's having a brilliant season.
He's really quietly having a great season.
Pep was like, we can't win without Nathan Ake, and then the next game didn't start him. Yep. It's like, what are you doing? And then brought him on.
But there's an interesting, like, David, you'll know a bit more about this, but there's quite an interesting thing emerging here with Ake becoming quite a reliable player for Pep. And João Cancelo, who's like suddenly just a bench guy.
Completely gone off.
Yeah.
I think Pep's always, you know, always pulls something out like this, you know, to change things up. And I think he's enamoured with Rico Lewis. And he looks a fabulous player, by the way. And I think he's already said, like, he's kind of his lamb. Lancashire lamb.
Right.
So
Little Lewis Lamb.
The thing with Guardiola, though, is that he, you know, I mean, Phil Foden isn't playing much at the moment. Bernardo Silva isn't playing much at the moment because, you know, Grealish and Riyad Mahrez are both in really, really good form. He's got the squad to rotate. Yeah. Like, if you had that squad of players at your disposal, starting every game in the first 11 would be just stupid, wouldn't it? So I think Cancelo's probably, it could well be that he's just in that phase of rotation
Pep's
at the moment rather than it being a crisis.
Pep's just very good at managing all of that, isn't he? And look, the Champions League returns in a few weeks' time now, and by that point, we're going to start seeing all of them playing, you know, every week.
I think things could change up then again. You know, who knows? It'll be one of those things where he might drop Lewis even after a few good performances because it's Champions League and okay, I want the Cancelo factor here on the break potentially, depending on how he wants to play. So, the bottom line is he's got a hell of a lot of options, more than most.
Did we learn anything in terms of title race from that cup game?
It's difficult to say because of the changes, isn't it? But actually, I mean, there are times in the past where Arsenal would have just got absolutely turned over in a game like this. So they look a lot better equipped to face City than you might have thought in previous seasons, even really last season. So that's, I mean, in terms of positives you can take from a loss, I mean, that there are a number. So that's the best way to lose, really.
What do we know about rib injuries?
Apparently, it's not an issue. Partey should be fit immediately.
Good news for Arsenal fans. Okay, what about Man United? They knocked out Paul Lintz's Reading out of the cup 3-1. It was a bit of a tale, this game, of two strikers, wasn't it? Rashford, who was having a lovely time despite not scoring, and Andy Carroll not having a lovely time.
He looks too big for his body now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, even the second yellow card where he slides in, I think he doesn't realise how long he is.
He looks like a pirate who cannot adjust to life on dry land.
Yes.
Just sort of wading around, causing havoc, getting into brawls.
It was an outrageous performance.
Unreal.
It really was.
I mean, he should have been sent off separately from the two bookable offences as well.
Yeah, it was just, he was just thrown, as you say, just hurtling himself about with absolutely no regard for anybody else. And it was really, really strange from him. But on the Man United point of view, I think we're going to find out a lot about them, I think, over the next few weeks or so. Their schedule is so busy. Mm-hmm. That squad is looking very thin. Ten Hag's not making particularly big changes from game to game. And I think it's a case. So they've got the host Forest in the second leg of the Carabao Cup semi-finals next Wednesday, one goal advantage. And then three Premier League games. Palace leads twice across 8 days.
And then Barcelona.
And then Barcelona, a trip to Barcelona on February 16th.
Yeah.
That's a lot of games when the squad is looking particularly thin. And you're going to have to be asking players who have been out to come back in. So I'm looking at Martial, Dalot, and especially Jadon Sancho to come in and kind of reinvigorate things, because right now it is the same team every single week.
The point that David makes about the schedule is an important one, because United do have a small squad. They can't rotate as much as they would have liked to, or they probably should, considering how much money they have spent over the last 2 years. The interesting thing, though, I think, is a lot of people are making this comparison with Arsenal about, like, you know, this is the early start of the Ten Hag stage and Arteta's got time, this and the other. But United's about turning form is based around older established players. Arsenal's was more about younger players coming through and actually peaking at the time they're peaking now, supplemented by bigger players. So it's interesting, because I think by the end of the season, ideally, you'd want to have identified a few few bankers from a younger generation. So I'm thinking like Garnacho, obviously Palestri started to play recently as well, and a couple of sub appearances. But you want to see the younger players coming through more, and I think the schedule will actually give United that opportunity. Not so much by plan, more by design, because they have to go through players, and you'd hope more players emerge, because I think that is my main worry, that in 2 years' time, if they're like, right, now is the, or you know, a season and a half's time, is like, now's the title push. You actually only have one shot at that with some of these players, like Casemiro and, you know, a couple of the older players as well. So,
I mean, Casemiro is playing like a box-to-box midfielder.
So good.
Like, third and fourth goals for them. He has transformed that midfield. Like, a lot of people saying, oh, it's too much money for him. Oh, he's 31 or however old he is. Oh, we can't do it without Modric and Cruz. That has been a nonsense that has been made of that immediately. Ten Hag has to get credit for that, as well as Casemiro.
He's a world-class midfielder who was on the market.
Yeah.
If they're available, you bring them in. There's not really many more, the questions to that. You get it done.
Okay, well, I think that's pretty much all we've got time for. The draw for the FA Cup fifth round is tonight. It's live on The One Show. It's funny when they do that, isn't it?
The One Show's so weird.
Like, why are you doing
so,
that?
So weird.
What is the one show? Like, what is the remit of the one show?
It's just a complete jumble, isn't it?
Like a TK Maxx of television.
Yeah, it's
Jermaine Jenas.
Exactly
it,
yeah.
Yeah, I think he is today. Yeah. I think he is today. Yeah.
That confused me further.
Just pops him in there.
Not that Mike Dean's going to be watching, by the way. Has anyone seen that he's off travelling around trying to watch football matches this weekend? He took the FA Cup weekend off. He didn't fancy it. He was even doing interviews on Dutch TV.
Apparently him and his daughter like to go to the Netherlands one weekend a year to see as many games as they can.
So random.
I quite like it.
I love it.
That sounds like a one-show insert, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I love it because people probably have a view of referees as very strict, you know, just in the house being very boring and everything like that. Whereas Mike's just about on the sauce in Holland.
Yeah, and when he was asked, when he did this interview, they were like, why here? Why'd you come here? He's like, it's easy to get around.
It's so dry, easy
to get around to all the grounds. There you go.
Just because you don't let your one out that little room. Peter Walton.
what?
Oh, what does Peter say? Oh, Rio, have you heard what Peter said, the nerd? Always bullying him.
I'm actually quite nice to Peter Walton. I'm one of the only ones that is.
Yeah, you slide his food in under the door, do you?
Bullies him.
God, it is a tissue. Wipe that blood off. We're on TV in a minute.
That room that Peter sits in is actually up. You have to go up some stairs. I'm not going in there.
Breach doesn't do stairs. It's in the contract.
Right.
Bet stinks.
Tomorrow, What? Peter Walton's room?
Well, just like nerd stuff.
Yeah.
Empty What's It packets everywhere.
Curtains drawn.
Yeah. Posters of Howard Webb.
No comment. David, Vish, you're both back tomorrow, aren't you? You're doing something special with Marcus, A Ramble's Guide to Number Nines. So we look forward to that. And thanks you guys for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. See you soon.
Do we need an outro?
No, you don't do anything there.
Do we have an outro?
Yeah, but it goes in after production. Just stop it, all right?
Yeah, this is harder than it looks, isn't it?
Bye.
It's what we've learned.
Do you want to say bye again?
Vish, go home.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate lightweight, super packable travel shoes from Allbirds. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.